lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to the USCDI Task Force. We will get started with a brief roll call. Christina Caraballo?
Present.
Carrie O'Malley?
Here.
Stephen Lane?
Here.
Brett Oliver? I do believe he's going to be absent today. Cheryl Turney?
Present.
Thank you. Les Leonard? Not yet. Okay. Ken Kawamoto?
Present.
Clem McDonald? Valerie Gray? Tina Esposito? Steve Reedy? And Sasha Terma? Okay, if others join, we'll be sure to let you know. I'll turn it over to Christina and Terry to get us started.
Okay. Christina, do you want to do the intro or shall I?
Either way.
Go ahead if you'd like.
Okay. So we have a lot to get through today, so we are going to jump right in. You can kind of see the our items. We're going to shift this around a little bit. We have put together kind of a draft deck that we shared with everyone that we hope to use for our next high-tech meeting after some refinement on today's call. And again, like I said, we're hoping to get through some stuff. So we're going to start, dive right in and start on the bigger components, which are the promotion model criteria, submission form, and the ONC responsibility slide that we put together. And then after that, we'll go over kind of the overarching goals of the model, the summary of the work to date, and the issues for the discussion slide that we put together. But I think in the interest of time, we're going to jump right in and go to slide 12. Fair enough, Terry?
Yep.
Anything to add? I know I'm just going right in. So the next couple slides are the promotion criteria from when a data element submitted to, and then from comment to level one, level two to level one to two, and then two to USCDI. This is a reflection of the Google Excel sheet that we were working on as a team and on our last call. We've just kind of cleaned it up a little bit. One change that I wanted to note before we go through this is that on the far right column, you'll see comments and concerns for ONC's consideration. One of the things that we had wanted to recommend, or that we're recommending as a task force, is this concept of a user guide to help people understand exactly what's needed to move from one level to the next. And as we were trying to put out together those pieces, we realized that we're not going to be able to fill in each of the very specifics of the user guide parts, but what we can do is start to identify questions or concerns or considerations for ONC. So as we move through this, we want to gather as much information that would be helpful in creating this user guide, but not necessarily create it within the confines of this set of recommendations. So Carrie, did you have anything to add to that overview, or are we ready to kind of start?
I think we'll go line by line, and the idea is to make sure that this is clear and we're stating what we want to state. A lot of this work was done very nicely 2 weeks ago, so hopefully we won't have a lot of cleaning up to do, but we will start off.
And if you're willing, just please read through line by line for those of us who aren't yet on the video part.
That's good. Absolutely. And Ken and Cheryl, any questions or concerns or?
Sounds good.
That's rock and roll. All right. Okay.
Great.
All right, Christina. I'll read the first few, and then you can
go
have
for
the next
it.
Few. All right. So the item is justification exists for data element capture and national exchange. Right, so justification exists for the data element, and the use of this criterion would be to estimate potential significance, and it's not required for advancement, and we're just saying to ONC it helps determine the significance of the data element being proposed. All right, so if you have any questions or concerns, just speak up, because otherwise I'm just going to keep reading, and I'll stop when anyone interjects. How's that? Okay. All right, so second line, there are applicable use cases citing this data element. And again, it's for clarification. This is a requirement to be put into level one, and if you don't have it, your data element goes to the comment level.
You know, the use of the word citing seems a little off to me. Would involving be a better word? I mean, use cases don't always cite specific data elements.
Okay. I have no problem with that. All in favor? Well, anyone opposed? We'll do it that way. Okay, so we'll amend that to, I'm sorry, what was your verb?
I mean, I said involving, it could be utilizing, but citing just seems like it might be misinterpreted.
Okay, so let's use utilizing. Okay. Okay, next one. There are projects currently underway using this data element. And again, it's required for level one. If you don't have it, you're in comment. Okay. Next slide, please. And the next one is that this data element is currently captured electronically in one or more electronic systems. It's just how feasible is it to get it? It's required for level one. You don't have it, you're in comment. Okay. And the last one for me before handing it to Christina is the following systems capture this data element at the noted level of prevalence using the following mechanisms. Okay, we may want to stop for that one. I'm not sure I read that before I typed it in there. The point of this is we've asked if it's currently being captured, and then this is sort of a follow-up question. So tell us what systems are capturing it. How often is the element captured? You know, rarely, occasionally, always. And how it's captured. Perhaps we should just rephrase it in that way.
Yeah, that second stab you took at it, Terry, was more understandable than the first.
Yeah, I'm not sure I still understand the first one. But, so specify the system cited above, how often the data element is collected, and how the data element is collected. Okay. All right. Very good. Next slide, please. And Christina, you're on. And I'll take notes. Unless you want me to do it.
Oh, I'm on mute. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm back. Okay, so a content standard exists for this data element. The use is the technical maturity and feasibility. This is required for level one, and if not in level one, if it doesn't meet this, it is in comment. We had on this slide some concerns. We just put a note that only a context standard or the existence of data element in this implementation guide is required, not both. So we're just trying to gather information at this point, and this does not have to be U.S. specific.
And actually, Christina, I had separated the two out, so I put a new line in that said the next one is an implementation guide exists. So I just separated the content standard from the implementation guide.
Yeah, so when I was putting these notes, these are requirements. So when we split it, it changed the context from or to separate lines. So I just wanted to note that both were in a requirement. It wasn't still an and or. This is very early stages, and that's the reason for that note.
Got it.
That makes sense. I can clean it up.
Just to me.
Okay. Any comments on either one of those two? Or I guess the next one for those on the phone is an implementation guide exists that contains this data element. Okay. Moving to the next one. There have been pilots, Connectathon testing, or production use of this data element. Again, we are gathering information for technical maturity and feasibility and requirements to move from comment to level one. Some of our comments that we wrote in here is that this can be early stages. This requirement demonstrates that standards development organization has initiated work and has interest.
And Christina, Rob McClure has put a couple of comments in the chat. Going back to the use of the word capture, not being clear. So it looks like he's really asking if this data element is encoded. So captured in a discrete field, or is it in free text? What do you think, gang, about either captured in a discrete field being encoded, or if it's in free text?
I think we're still open to free text data elements at this point, aren't we?
Yeah.
Or since we're USCDI, does it need to be? Does everything need to be discrete? That's a really simple and important question.
Yeah, I agree that this is a good question because it's like at this point, we're trying to figure out, are people trying to electronically capture this? And there may not be standards because remember, this is level one. We're not even at level two.
Right. Yeah, so I think the distinction that Rob is making is a helpful one, and it includes free text. But this is really the pre SDO getting their hands on this data element work.
So I just copied and pasted Rob's comments into ours.
I wonder if what Rob's getting at, this is Ken, is whether it's structured versus free text. So I wonder if that's what he was getting after. Not necessarily that there's a standard, but the notion that you know, it's different to say at some point this is recorded in free text because, for example, let's say, you know, is a patient homeless? Like, obviously, at some point in some system, that's going to be recorded. But that's a separate issue from saying, are there systems out there where that's actually captured as structured data?
Yeah. Okay. Well put. Rob agrees. Okay. Great. Sorry, Christina.
Okay.
You off pilots and connectathons?
Didn't we just do that one?
Yep. Did it?
Okay. So I think we can move to the next slide. Or unless anybody has any comments around that one. Okay. The next item is the exchange of data element has been successfully tested between two or more different platforms in a production environment, again, for technical maturity and feasibility, and required for level two.
I think that sounds good. Could you just back up one slide? Was there one that was similar to this or no? I don't think there was. Oh, okay. It is similar. I guess the only notion there is connectathon is a trademarked term by Oracle, so we may not, I don't know, I guess it's probably okay to use, but it is trademarked, and I have heard that they, you know, the trademark owner has gone after folks who use the term, so I assume the government is immune, but anyway, I recently learned connectathon is a trademark term that we may not be able to use.
Okay. Maybe we can put in EG and put a trademark next to it. And so the idea is sort of gradually escalating specification, technical specification, and experience in exchange. So going from connectathon to two platforms in production, and then the next one is four platforms. And that's how you're going to need two to get into level two, and you're going to need four to get to USCDI. Okay. So, Christina, you want to continue or you want me to pick up?
Go for it.
Next slide, please. Okay, here we go. So here's the data element has been successfully tested between four or more different platforms in a production environment. So this is the big leagues. If you get to four, then that's a requirement to get to USCDI. If you don't get this far, then you stay in level two. So the clarity, the question was added is, you know, what's the proper term for both this question and the previous one? Is it different platforms or unrelated platforms, or you know, is different close enough? Does different capture what we want? The reason different was picked instead of unrelated is that you could have different legacy systems within one parent corporation, and if you're able to change between your two different platforms, even though they're related by governance and by ownership. The point was that they're not electronically related.
Hey, Jerry, this is Adam. This might be an instance where it might be useful to provide a couple different examples and kind of let those do the work, you know, in addition to kind of finding the right term.
Okay.
And I think this is interesting, right? Because according to this definition, if the, let's say, you know, EHR vendors that have overall, let's say, 70% of the U.S. market share are exchanging data in a production environment, that would still potentially not meet this requirement, which seems kind of silly.
Well, but they'd have to exchange it with, they'd have to be exchanging it with a separate, different platform. They couldn't just exchange it to their own iterations of the platform.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, let's say three of the largest EHR vendors among themselves, right? So within those systems we're sharing, but not with another system, that we would be saying that does not count. I'm just noting that seems, and whereas you can imagine, you know, four systems that cumulatively have 0.1% of market share share amongst themselves, and that would qualify. So what I'm getting at that is there isn't the notion of an arbitrary number starts getting at the notion of, I don't know. And perhaps it's the case that if very large groups are on it, of course, smaller groups can be joined or will join. But I'm just bringing up the notion that this row has no concept of, you know, like, other than different, like, relative sort of scope or customer base or things like that, which, you know, maybe it's fine, but I'm just noting that it's not in there at all.
Yeah, and no, that's, you're making a great point, but I think it is exactly that point. It doesn't really have to do with customer base or scale, and we're looking at whether the element is mature enough and has been tested in an exchange across different platforms. And that's really the question. It's not that they're the biggest or the smallest. It's has it been done? Because presumably, if you can do it among four, it doesn't really matter. That data element is probably ready to be required to be moved among everyone who's not moving it.
I'll just play devil's advocate, right? Let's say you have four hospital or four clinics, each with solo physicians, each of whom have one-off systems, and they can connect among themselves, right? That would meet this requirement. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the most common or even a likely outcome. I'm just saying unless we have another criteria that's just as, and of course, to, you know, with includes judgment of the HITACH or ONC,
yep,
as a further bar, then yep, we're, yeah, anyway.
Yes. No, point's well taken. And unfortunately, there is yet another bar, and that's, you know, once the element meets the criteria to get into USCDI, it's got one more hurdle, and that is that the HITACH has to weigh in on it, and ONC has to weigh in on it. And I'm guessing there's a public comment period, so the public gets to weigh in on it. And I think your example, Ken, they would say, "Are you kidding?" If that's the only one people who've done it. But right, this, you know, we're trying to figure out how you get to the levels, and again, this was one of the criteria, and it was meant to capture technical maturity. So you think that's still okay to go with this, or do we want
yep
to modify it?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Next slide, please. So the next group of slides, this sort of are the set of questions that ONC asked or will ask of the data element, and it's really the sort of the strategic significance of the data element. So the data element has passed the technical specification requirements, and now ONC and the HITACH are going to say, all right, that's nice, but. And so the first but is that there is evidence exists for the impact of this data element on healthcare costs for individuals or populations. And presumably you will then provide it. Or, you know, as part of your submission, as the data element submitter, you would provide that information at some point. Okay. And then we've got two more, I think, that are like this. We have the next slide, please. All right. Yeah, so the next ones are that there's an estimate of the number of providers who would use this data element class. And the next one is the following restrictions potentially limit the standardization of this data element. But anyway, let's go back to there's an estimated number of providers. And the questions we had was what kind of evidence, what kind of experts, what kind of estimates, published studies. Do we need to give any more guidance on what we would expect as a reasonable estimate?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, and, you know, Rob commented on this for the cost one too. I think it's probably not a requirement, and the estimate could be very sort of back of the napkin, I think. So mm-hmm. If I think, for example, you know, let's say gender, right, as a data element, and we were redoing this now, what would you put for what's the estimated financial impact/cost of sharing gender when we weren't? Like, how would you even do that other than say, obviously, it's really important in a lot of clinical care decisions and, you know, like estimates would be like a lot of money. And, you know, estimate of the number of providers who would use it would be, well, it's obviously like almost every provider. Like, and I think that's probably okay. So I think it's good to ask people to think about it and to discuss it. I think it's unreasonable to say like you have to like have a publication. Like if we had a bar for you need to have a publication on the estimate of the financial impact of having gender shared across systems, that would be kind of crazy.
Agreed. That's a good point. So basically, just say provide an estimate. I kind of guess to the point, is this even necessary? Because ONC is perfectly capable of doing the same estimate.
Yeah, I think if they have it available, it's nice, right? And of course, estimates are going to depend on perspective, but I mean, cost and benefit are sort of two sides, right? Like, we're asking about benefits, and we should also ask about what kind of costs are we talking about. And I assume the healthcare costs will include the cost to providers. It might be worth making explicit, but a big part of the cost might be we didn't used to have a checkbox on whether the patient is homeless, and now we're asking, like, how much is that going to cost to ask every patient, right, and to collect it?
Right. So, no, again, great points. And on this slide, there's sort of four soft questions. So one is the estimate. Next one is to indicate what restrictions potentially limit the standardization of this data element, which really gets to, you know, is this a proprietary code? You know, can you use it? The third one is, are there any restrictions that potentially limit the use of this data element? So got to have a licensing fee. And then the fourth one, is there an estimate of the overall burden to implement? So I think that gets to your final point, Ken.
Yeah, so there's definitely an overlap with the other one about cost.
Yep.
I think these are great questions. I think the only question on the cost one is whether we want to like phrase it so that it doesn't overlap with these or whatnot. But I guess as an explicit issue, I might suggest that in the earlier one, we just ask people to comment and say, like, for example, from, you know, different perspectives, because cost is different from out of pocket, from society, from a healthcare system, depending on the payment models. And I don't think it's reasonable to say, like, you have to do financial analyses from all these perspectives. But, you know, I think it might also be reasonable to say, like, hey, you might want to think about this in all these different ways of thinking about the problem. And what we're doing here is, for example, in the last row on this one, is we are explicitly saying, I want you to think about the cost to implementers, right? And third one is cost to the healthcare system for collecting this information, that kind of thing.
Okay. We might actually, the place to make those edits, might, if these questions are okay, because this is essentially the criteria that ONC will use, that we will go to the submission form, and maybe where we're asking the submitter for that information, that's where we put some of the qualifying verbiage that you're offering, Ken. It just says,
yeah,
please provide the estimate from your perspective of blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Okay. And Rob, we see your comment about it, way too high a bar. So I think hopefully we've lowered it reasonably. All right, so I think that's it for the promotion criteria. So any sort of overall comments or anything that you think we missed or okay. Hearing none. And I think, Christina, on your outline, the next thing we're going to look at is the data element submission form, which is, there's slide 11 is a high-level slide, and then the slides 29 to 32 are the details. So this is the high-level, right, five sections, identification. So if you think of the submission form as the user's guide, or saying to the users, the submitters, identify the data element, justify why it should be promoted, tell us how extensive the use is and the technical specifications around it, tell us the potential impact, and tell us the potential barriers. That's sort of the five big sections. So slides 29 to 32 break that apart into more specific details. And the details in the submission form mirror exactly what ONC is using as promotion criteria. All right. So, Christina, do you want to do this part, or you want me to keep going?
Sure. So we've got the first section, let me keep pulling it up, is with the identification of the data element, and the fields that we're trying to capture are the name of the proposer, contact information of the proposer, the data element description, any related data elements, if this is a proposed data class, which is optional, and do similar data elements currently reside in the, what's that?
UDA. So, yeah, maybe we should explain that. So anyway, this is a proposed name for the U.S. CDA Data Element Advisory. So it's, and took the took the verbiage from the ISA, which says this is the ONC process for identifying, sharing, publicizing the existence of data elements.
Not memorized our acronym.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a terrible acronym. Anyway. So, you know, so instead of saying it's the process that does that two sentences, it's the UDA.
Is that that acronym, or is that just a soft proposed acronym?
That's a false acronym. It's a bullet. It's a USCDI Data Element Advisory.
I guess And that's pretty set, right? Like, we can't suggest the change to the name of that thing?
No, we made it up.
Oh, you made it up?
Yeah, you can call it anything you want.
On a different slide.
I just propose it be
over, but.
Yeah, I just propose it be something that, like, it's not yet another acronym that, like, we have to think about. So I don't know what a best one is, but, like, when I see UDA, it doesn't ring, like, it doesn't say, oh, yeah, it's the USCDI, like, proposed data element. So
how about data element advisory?
I think
we would think it's the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Well, without getting to the acronym, the point here is, does it been submitted? Does it exist in comment? Is there a data class or a data element in the comment? So ignoring our advisory, it's more kind of identifying and forcing a user to look at what's already been proposed in order to see if it exists, as opposed to just
I would suggest that the form be smart enough to do a search, right? Kind of like when you go to a help site for your cable company or phone company or whatever, and you start saying, like, I want to know, and then it's like, did you mean this, right? And it's like, oh, in which case you don't need to call us, kind of thing. I don't know. It seems like it would be a reasonable thing to do at the infrastructure level.
Right. So
I think there's a place, and if it goes into the ISA, that is searchable for like a data class, data element. But I think that's a good thing to note. So I just added that, Ken. And I see Clem's had his hand up for a little bit. So Clem, did you want to chime in on something? I'm also typed. I think Clem's audio might not be working.
Well, his audio is not connected.
So Clem wrote, think data element may be too small of a unit for submission, would be extremely rare that a single element, singular, would be proposed, more likely, I don't know that word, supplementary measures as a class or some survey instrument.
Yeah.
Clem, we have not muted you.
Yeah, right. and Clem, I think that's a good point, and you're absolutely right. It's going to be rare that a single data element gets proposed, but I believe that was the fundamental unit of submission that ONC indicated. And Adam and Al and Brett, please correct me if that's something different. So, but I think in the real world, it's probably never going to get used.
Yeah, this is Al. Yes, I do think that's the unit, but whether there's going to be, if a submission is going to be a single data element or a group of data elements, and Clem, it could go either way, the spirometry results, the spirometry test could be one data element with all of the components being additional data elements. But that could be part of a class of observations of some sort, whether it's a procedure or a lab result, depending on how you categorize it. A spirometry test panel, if you will, with all the different components would probably just be a list of data elements that would obviously be related.
Maybe the ask here is to have have some of those common examples and to just make sure that the approach supports it, and maybe saying, hey, for example, if you want to do spirometry, this is how you would fill out this form and make sure it's not mind-numbing where you're like, I can't believe the form is set up so that I have to do it this way. With those examples, I think would be useful. Yeah, and like Clem says, like, you know, every question in a questionnaire, so, you know, like an example everyone probably knows is like APGAR score, right? Like, and like, how would you submit an APGAR score or a stop band questionnaire? and it should hopefully be in a way that doesn't make you want to, you know, tear your hair out.
Right. A lot of this, I mean, those are important comments, and I guess it gets to how what the structure of this process is going to be, you know, what's it built around, or what's it built into? And those are probably issues that ONC is going to sort out over the next 6 months. I mean, they're really important. I'm not sure what kind of advice our task force can give them. And Clem's got another comment that he thinks the submitters ought to be pushed to review what's already in whatever we're calling this, because the programs won't be smart enough. And that's probably correct. So is everyone comfortable with just making that a sort of a requirement for a submitter, that they look through what's already been submitted, find things that are similar or identical, and either pile into that submission or justify why theirs is different?
Seems reasonable to me.
Okay. All right, Christina.
Okay. Do you want to take the next section?
All right. Stick this one. Okay, sure. Let's go to section
next
2.
Slide.
So this is the identification of the data element. And then these are questions, so why, you know, why should we even consider this data element? Okay. So, and the first question is just explain why it should be captured and available. And then we ask for a representative use case. That's really the extent of the justification for the data element. Should we require more, or is it just the fact that here's how it's being used, and this is why it's important? Okay, hearing nothing, we go to section 3. And this is sort of where the submission form matches the promotion criteria and moves really now towards technical specification and how the data element is being used. And again, to Clem's point, data element here is a proxy for any submission, whether it's 1 or 1,000. So we ask them to offer examples of where it's currently being captured electronically in an electronic system, and then tell us, and we'll change the language here to match how we change the promotion criteria. So, and just then tell us how it's being captured, whether it's encoded or free text. And then asking if a content standard exists for this data element, and if so, point us to it. Okay, so this is the first step down technical specification and use. Okay? So we go on to the next one. Okay, so now we're continuing extent of use and technical specification. So then we're asking, does an implementation guide exist that contains this data element? And if so, tell us. And then has there been any testing, pilots, production? If yes, tell us. And then has it been successfully exchanged between two or more different platforms in a production environment? Yes, tell us. And then four or more different platforms in a production environment? Same thing. So those are the technical specifications that get you through levels one and two and be considered for USCDI. Okay. And I think that's our last one on the submission form. Is that right? Could we go one more?
Nope.
One more slide? Oops. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's right. So it's these are the sort of the final final questions to get by the HITECH and US and ONC. Right. So tell us about the impact, and we'll cross out provide supporting data, just make an estimate. So it says, is there evidence for the impact of this data element on healthcare costs? We might just ask, please provide your estimate of, and just make it very personal.
Yeah. I wonder, when we judge or review these things, if, I mean, I think this is good the way it is. I'm just thinking, how are we going to make decisions between them? So like, let me provide some examples, right? So let's say, like, one of the data elements is, let's say the spirometry results, and one of them is, you know, echo results, and one of them is detailed smoking history. I mean, isn't it going to be really hard for us, even if it's been demonstrated can be exchanged, for example, to judge the relative merits on the, I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking, like, how are we going to actually do this work once it gets proposed? And I mean, is there anything we can do in the submission process that helps that? I don't know.
I'm not sure that we're necessarily going to be comparing one data element to another to determine who gets the final slot, rather than just determining whether or not there's enough evidence so that the cases you cited earlier, of the four practices exchanging one thing that was good for them, the four of them only, then that one wouldn't pass muster. Yeah, it's not going to have any impact. And we would say,
I guess, I mean, I assume we don't want to put it, but I mean, is it possible we could potentially come up with requests for estimates that, so I'll give an example of what I think is unfeasible to ask but would make our job easier, right? Which is, for example, for the benefit, can you, you know, provide estimates of benefit in terms of quality adjusted life years saved, right? And because that's a pretty common in health services research way to say, like, okay, well, generally as a society, we believe anything between, you know, under $50,000 for quality adjusted life years saved makes sense. So we'll, you know, pay for it in terms of, you know, healthcare reimbursement. I don't think there's that something, a bar like that is reasonable, et cetera, but it sure would make our life easier if we could be like, oh, you know, this one has a, you know, index cost of 1.5 and a quality adjusted life year saved estimate of this, and this other one has that. Not to say that I think we can do it, but it I mean, I don't know. Is there a surrogate or some other way that we can get at it? I can't think of one, but anyway, I'm just thinking this is going to be hard.
Yeah. Well, Ken, maybe the approach is just to waffle and say, you know, provide your best estimate or evidence.
Yeah, provide your best case, right? And maybe in some cases the case will be, like, of course, like, you want to know how much it costs when you prescribe medications or get medications. And, you know, like, your best case is that everyone realizes through their personal experience that that's really important. In other cases, it might be saying like, hey, like, you know, lung cancer could, you know, we could reduce lung cancer deaths by 10,000 people. That's more than breast cancer screening. And, you know, that's a completely different kind of case to make. But anyway, it will be hard. It will essentially be a judgment call, which I think is fine. Yeah. But, yeah, it'll be hard.
Okay, but what we'll do is we'll just change the language so that we make it clear that it's their best estimate. Again, asking them to make the case, the best case they can, with whatever data they have, and it might be a, you know, a guess from their Aunt Tilly, but you know, that's the best it is, and that's what it is. And to Bob McClure's point, Rob McClure's point earlier, there's not a lot of data out there that helps us with on the data element level. So with those sort of changes, is that okay on the potential impact piece? We're just going to ask for the best estimate. And then the next section is potential barriers. So any restrictions on the standardization? And if known, then are there any restrictions on the use of the data element, like licensing or user fees? And then finally, provide an overall estimate of the burden to implement. Should we?
You know, Terry, when you talk about restrictions on the use, I've been involved in a number of conversations lately, you know, talking about payer-provider exchange, where data is being exchanged for a particular use. I guess I'm just thinking, does that fit in here? I guess it does. I guess it's not a restriction related to the element itself, though. It's the specific use case. So maybe not relevant. But just when you said restrictions on use, it made me think of that.
Yeah, right. So I think the example would be, you know, a widely used proprietary code set that requires your subscription to send and receive.
Yeah, I think the way you have it is good.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the submission. I think that's the submission form. Can you go one more slide just to make sure? I think we're
that's
the last
it.
One. Yeah, good. Okay. Wonderful. So that so there's the promotion criteria lined up with the submission form. And again, we'll make sure they're cleaned up and synced up so that what we're asking the submitter to submit is what ONC is going to use to help determine the proper level. And that's the point of those two things. Okay, any general comments, concerns, questions?
Great.
Okay.
So I think we can skip to slide 21 then. Terry, did you want to go over the, I was thinking the next one we had in our kind of, that was this one, the summary of the proposed role relationship of the submitters and communities of interest in ONC.
Right. And we'll modify this based on Clem's earlier comments about pushing the submitter to do things. So this is just a list of sort of functions and responsibilities that the submitter has and that ONC has in this promotion model. And Stephen, I'll read them for you. And then there's sort of, well, so anyway, the submitter has got to follow the application process, right? And that's their deal. And we'll make sure that that includes reviewing what's already been submitted to make sure they're not duplicating. And ONC is then required to review the applications and make leveling decisions based on the applications. And then there's probably got to be a process in there, a feedback loop, where ONC says, you know, your application is incomplete or we need further information, and has to reach out to the submitter. And then obviously the submitter has a requirement to respond. We didn't talk about what happens when, you know, anyway, we may be getting too detailed. So the next one is sort of a general issue of sort of how can the community at large best use the information that's being sent into ONC as part of the submission process? You know, how best to display that, how best to make it useful so that, you know, communities of interest can form, that people with similar data elements can help work to refine them and create a consensus, a broader consensus. It's really sort of where does all this work get done? And obviously ONC has the responsibility of building that. I'm not quite sure what it was going to look like. Any thoughts on that?
So this is Clem. I finally figured out how to talk.
Hey.
I don't actually have a comment specifically on that, but I just realized that when it gets approved, does that mean the data has to be entered by all the clinicians in the world, or that there is the systems would provide machinery to send it if it were in the computer?
It's a good question.
If it's that it has to be recorded, there's the opportunity for lots of the entire world to kind of do like a stop the machinery by sort of like you can do with the internet by just asking for so darn many things.
Right.
I guess one could prevent that, but I think we should be clear on what's the requirements. Is it going back to physicians typing more?
Yeah. We're fortunately pretty downstream from that. I think we need to have a process to advance data elements that have intrinsic value and technical specificity. The how they get done is a whole different question. A good question, but a different one.
I wasn't asking how. I was asking what's the obligation, whose obligation is to see that data flows? Or is it really not anybody's obligation to create that data? Is this obligation for the systems to be able to send it?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, Clem. I think it's obligation for the systems.
I think we asked about it in a previous call, and it was going to fuel into a certification expectation that certified products would support USCDI. And so that would be a software expectation, not an obligation to record the information if it weren't pertinent.
Thank you, Safa.
But I agree, it's a really important distinction.
Right, so we'll park that in, if it's not already not in, we'll park that in our issues for further discussion and future consideration. And hopefully we'll get to some of those today. We're moving along pretty good. So any thoughts on, so we put in proving ground, just because the ISO's got one. Do you know what we're thinking?
Yeah. We're kind of thinking like the similar to something like the interoperability proving ground, but a place where people can come in and kind of the things that are high impact data elements that may not have as much technical information because the submitter may just not know that, can they can start forming communities to be able to kind of work together and fill in gaps in information, and people of interest can start to come together. So that's kind of the idea behind the proving ground concept, kind of like a platform for collaboration, whatever that looks like.
Like a wiki?
And it's something that builds. Yeah, you can just, everybody can kind of work together to put in information as they find it. And that's kind of like bullet three, where ONC can add it if they have the information, but then also the public. So it's not just the submitter that has to own this. It becomes more of a larger community effort.
Sounds like a great idea, Christina. Everyone's in agreement. We obviously weren't quite clear on how to articulate this, but so we're going to use proving ground as a shorthand. And we'll probably have to explain it again during our presentation. Moving on down, so once we built the proving ground, and then the submitters get to establish communities, and then there's sort of the idea that ONC has oversight of data element progress in the proving ground. So remember, there was in this process a sort of three cycles, and you don't advance, you get parked somewhere else, that idea. So that really implies that ONC is then tracking the progress. And once they're tracking the progress, it's sort of, so what are the possible results of them tracking? You know, they could say, they could do nothing and say it's moving along. They could note that it's not making progress and put them on notice, or note that they're not making progress and help assemble the community of interest, or provide incentives or staff to move it forward if it's really valuable. It's just not clear what sort of whether ONC has another role to play in this whole process, and that's as sort of the oversight of the proving ground and making sure the data elements are moving, and if not, providing assistance if it's of high value. There's a lot of concepts in that. It's not a simple idea, which is why it's probably not that clear. We think that's a reasonable role for ONC to assume, the oversight of the progress.
Terry, this is Al. It might be, for ONC's benefit, it might be good to either distinguish or not distinguish between this management of a proving ground and management of the list, which includes the levels and all of the data of each submission within those levels. That makes sense. If you're asking for an additional sort of activity rather than sort of the equivalent of what's in the interoperability standards advisory, as you know, presenting the data, metadata around each data element, if you're asking specifically for an additional activity as a recommendation, it might be good to be explicit. If that's what you're, if it's not what you're talking about or asking, that's fine. But if you are, I think it should be explicit in the recommendation.
Okay. So, I guess the question to the task force is, should we ask ONC explicitly to monitor, well, I think we already asked them, so ask them explicitly to assume oversight of the data element progress, so not only setting up the proving ground or whatever we're going to call it, but observing the progress of data elements through the process. That's something we want to ask of ONC. Any thoughts? But otherwise, the ayes have it, and we ask ONC to do that. We'll clean up the language a little bit. And then the next potential ask, which was unbundled from the previous one, was that, you know, should we ask ONC to assume a role to assist or provide guidance to individuals or communities of interest when data elements don't progress as required? Is there a role for ONC to, in a sense, be a facilitator in addition to being a...
Ken, I think this is important, yeah.
Almost seems like that would want a separate prioritization process or some sort of indicator, right? In some cases, the fact that an element doesn't promote itself is an indicator that it's not where we should be as an industry focusing our attention, right? If it's not receiving enough pilots or something along those lines. But in other cases, it might be really important and merit additional attention to get through the process. I guess, how would we expect ONC to determine where the process was working when something wasn't being promoted and where the process was broken when something wasn't being promoted and they should intervene?
Yes. No, it's a very subtle difference. And in a sense, it also wraps in with the next line, which is, should ONC identify data elements with national strategic importance, the quadruple aim, and identify gaps, and identify those elements that are not advancing, and develop strategies to help. So that, Sasha, gets a little bit to your question of prioritization. Who's setting the priorities? And I think that's one of the issues that's in our to-be-discussed issue box, and that is, to what extent does the market drive this process? And interest will come when the market is interested in it, and it will move along, versus or in addition to having a strategic process that identifies what's needed and then helps promote that independently of the market. That's a big question.
Yeah, this is Ken. I think, put another way, the question is, what are things that might not happen if you just left it to the market that ONC may want to push forward? So I think assuming that there are such things, I think then that's where it would be useful. So I mean, if I were to give an example, it would be like things that might be voiceless, like people who are disenfranchised, people who are, you know, marginalized in society, for example, right? Like, they may not be the folks that, for example, health systems or, you know, vendors may not be focused on. It's possible they are, but it's possible they aren't, right? And there might be something that, you know, that might be useful, right? So if you took another example, like, say, social determinants of health, I think part of the reason why people are really caring about it in the industry is because, you know, beyond altruism, it's because, you know, when you're in pay-for-value kind of environments, you need to figure out how to control costs and patients. You know, social environments are important and predictive of things like readmissions and such. But you could probably make a case that, you know, perhaps even if that weren't, for example, a financial priority for folks, that might be something we'd want to focus on anyway. Anyway, so I assume there may be things like that come up.
So maybe what we'll do is rewrite these. I like the way you framed the question. Hopefully you get it right. And that's that we request that ONC prepare for the possibility that, you know, there are data elements like this, and to have a way of prioritizing them and prepare to use the resources at their disposal to advance those with high priority.
I think that makes sense,
because we really haven't come up with a lot of good examples.
This may all be hypothetical, you know, and the market may just do a perfect job.
Yeah, and I would say beyond market failure, there's the notion that when it comes to standards, there's a very big sort of like you can gain almost all the benefit from a standard by not being the one actively working on it, but just waiting for someone else to get the standards right and for you to just use it. So there, you know, even if it makes sense, it might be the kind of thing like it makes most sense if your competitors take care of it and come up with the standards and make it figured out, and then you just, you know, skip the discovery and research part. So there's all sorts of places where I think, you know, a organization which has a truly national scope of interest makes all sorts of sense to catalyze things, right? Because,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've gotten the high sign. We've got 3 more minutes to public comment. And so the last two roles are just sort of pretty clear: adjudicate leveling and advancement decisions. And there obviously have to be a process around communicating those and responding to comment. And then finally, ONC obviously has the oversight role of the entire process and essentially continually to continuously improve it, as well as maintain it. I think that's the end of that slide. So that was our detailed discussion group of questions. That was the key things we wanted to get done today. So we've gotten those. So should we break the public comment and take those and then come back and take a look at the overarching goals of the USCDI promotion model, which is slide 7.
Yeah, sounds good, Terry. Operator, can we open the public line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Great. And let me just ask really quickly, have any other task force members joined at the top of the call? I know we had Sasha come in a couple minutes late. Okay.
I did too, Clem McDonald.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, we got you, Clem. And okay, I think that's it. And operator, any comments in the queue?
There are no comments in the queue.
Okay. Terry Kishina, I'll let you know if we get any additional comments over the phone.
Okay. That's great. So if we could go on to slide 7. Again, Stephen, sorry you're without a screen.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I will read this for you. This is sort of the summary of our many discussions and tried to pull out the issues that seem to guide the recommendations that we're making. So one is that the process is open, public, and transmission, and that it encourages a diverse group of stakeholders and communities to promote new data elements. So it's really easy to get in. So establish the fewest possible barriers for data element submission. And the flip side of that is establish a high bar of technical specification and testing for promotion. Easy to get in, hard to get out. And then establish clear requirements for promotion that helps submitters plan appropriately. That's hopefully what we did with the submission form. And establish clear requirements for promotion, enabling ONC to appropriately place elements and classes. And then sort of one of the ultimate advantages of this process is the advance notice that it gives to industry of what is coming down the pike and has a high probability of being a requirement in several years. So those were the goals that we sort of pulled out of our discussion. Happy to rewrite them, add them, subtract them. Otherwise, we'll use this slide in the high-tech presentation. Okay. That's great. And I think, Christina, next on our list was slide 6, which was
yep.
A brief summary of what we've done as a task force. You want to do that one, or shall I?
Sure. So, brief summary of what we've done so far. We reviewed the promotion model. We really felt that it looked great, but what we wanted to do was look at the additional details. So, the proposed model, it addressed a lot of our 2018 task force recommendations, but with a simpler structure. Sorry if I got Stephen's listening. So that's our first bullet. And then what we did next was added details to the advancement process and made recommendations for the specific criteria between levels, the application process and submission form, and then our proposed concept of creating a user guide for submitting data elements. The next bullet is that we've added details for a USCDI data element advisory process similar to the ISA. So for this one, it is a model by which the ONC will coordinate the identification, assessment, and advancement and public awareness of data elements proposed for USCDI. And then we have discussed additional issues, including a process to advance strategically important data elements. So that is just a brief summary of what we've discussed. And again, hoping to use this in the HITECH discussion. So if anybody has any comments on this, I know, Ken, earlier you mentioned our name of the USCDI data element advisory process. Is there something better we should be calling this?
I guess I was just wondering if it was like the proposed USCDI data elements or something. Maybe call it proposed USCDI data elements, perhaps, or if it was an acronym, it might be like, I don't know, PUSCDID. I don't know, but I figure we have enough acronyms and names running around. We might want to just call it what it is.
USCDI data element process, end quote.
I guess, I think the process is fine. I guess if we're, I guess I got confused by the reference to proposed data elements as UDA, and I figured we should just call them proposed elements or something, proposed USCDI data elements.
Well, I confused myself, so makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess it's less getting hung up on the name and more just the concept of this role.
Yeah. So we can also give naming rights to ONC. They can call whatever they like.
Yeah.
So we've got 5 minutes to go. And Lauren, we're still okay with public comments?
Yes, I believe so. I don't think we have any comments. I'll just ask operator or Katie, okay. Any comments?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay, thanks.
So let's turn to the, and in case we don't get through it, which we won't, for homework for next week, if you all could just take a look at these issues for further comment and discussion and provide any comments that you'd like. So these are slides 23 to 25. And again, they're not in any particular order. And these were culled from the previous discussions. And we've talked about some of them today. So Stephen, for your benefit, so a process to identify high priority data elements that are not advancing. One, so we discussed about that, and a process to encourage work on high priority data elements, and the need for champions to move data elements through the process, the question of ONC's role to convene, support, provide useful resources. Those are all somewhat related. And getting back to Sasha's comment about a prioritization process and then mobilizing resources. And then there was another concept of the sandbox. So, you know, somewhat like the ISO standards sandbox, and do the same thing for sort of leading USCDI data elements. As a place where industry can help build consensus around what the data class should look like and to have a place they can test it. Okay, so those are four. We can just kind of go through. I'm going to hit the next slide, please. This one says, but again, we've talked some of this potential role for interoperability proving ground as a model for how the USCDI advancement process could perform. And to Ken's point, an open, public, searchable, and whether or not it's smart enough to do smart searches. What role should ONC take in the process? In addition to setting it up and maintaining it, you know, that gets to the support for advancement work.
So, Terry, this is Clem. Is there a possibility of talking about the difference between data that's sitting in electronic systems now and not being sent versus ones that require new data entry?
Interesting. Okay. Data in systems versus new entry. Okay. You know, and Clem, actually,
there's still a lot of it.
Yeah, the last element, the last one on this slide, how do bulk, you know, quote, bulk data classes, lab tests, test results, get handled? Is there a numerical limit to the number of data elements that can advance at a time? That's, again, one of our old questions. But if, what if, you know, would ONC ever say, you know, as of 3 years from now, you've got to be able to send every lab test known to man that's in this current standard? Would that ever happen?
I think they've already said that. I think the horse is out of the barn.
Out of the barn. By agreeing to the data, well, they agreed to the data classes, to the note classes, note types?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. If they agree to a lab note type, does that mean that all labs now have to be done?
Well, there's the lab note type is really a bizarre kind of lab we don't want to encourage. But,
right.
But there is already a specification about regular labs, you know, being sent as structured results. I think is a done deal.
Okay. So that's already all right. So maybe this question is already asked and answered. Okay.
Well, you used it as an example. I think the question is still valid. You know, I don't know what's not, you know, what high volume things are still working, but there may be some other classes that have a lot of stuff like labs too.
Okay. Well, these were our questions. Actually, you get one more slide of questions too. Couple. One more slide up. This gets back to prioritization of data elements. Is there a process to identify high priority data elements that are not advancing and encourage work on them? Is there the need for a champion to move data elements through the process? And as Ken noted, that's an expensive proposition. Anyway, this is just to give you a touch taste of what the questions are. So we'll leave it for any comments you all would like to make. We're probably not going to, we might include some of these in our presentation. But thank you all. We do not need a meeting next week, which none of us could go to anyway. We got everything done we have to do.
So hallelujah.
Amen. And great work. And tremendous amount of work from everyone and much appreciated. Christina and I will pull together a proposed final draft and get it out to you guys as soon as we can next week, and then get it to ONC by whatever deadline they need us to have it into them for the high tech. Thank you again, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care, everyone. Bye.